It's time for the Phenology Show. Phenology is the rhythmic biological nature of events as they relate to climate. And we are moving into spring. And that is pretty obvious for those of us that live in this area. I talked to my friend Dallas Hudson, and he said that they have as much snow on the ground now as they had throughout most of the winter over in Akeley. They got quite a bit of snow in that last bout of weather that came through on Saturday, I think it was. Friday was an absolutely incredible day. I was working with some schools down in Wyoming, Minnesota, just north and a little bit east of the cities, and it was absolutely delightful. I was wandering around the schoolyard dressed in a t-shirt and pants, and I kept thinking, I'm going to see a butterfly. Don't let it go by without noticing. And I didn't see a butterfly, but I fully expected to, and my friend Dallas Hudson also was in the same boat. Last Friday, we just expected that that would be the day for the first emerging butterflies. And of course, there are five butterflies that overwinter as adults. And so they are fully formed butterflies that have basically been in estivation, which is the insect equivalent of hibernation, throughout the winter. And usually it's a warm day like last Friday was that we begin to see them come out and start to fly around. And I wouldn't be at all surprised if I heard from somebody this morning saying that they, in fact, did see a butterfly last Friday. The children down in Northfield heard frogs singing down there. So that would be the next sign of spring that I would be looking for. These springtime activities kind of get going this time of year. We're a little bit on the early side for spring this year. I wouldn't say that we are earliest, but we are certainly early. And some of the events that I've been noticing besides the hoped for butterflies, by the way, the butterflies, I should probably describe them. One is the morning cloak, and that is a large, your first impression of the morning cloak butterfly is going to be, look at that big black butterfly. It's the same size as a monarch. It has very, very, very dark brown wings with a kind of a cream colored border. But your first impression is going to be black. Look at that big black butterfly. And that is one. The other common one that I see this time of year is the Compton's tortoiseshell. And usually when I talk to kids and they tell me they saw a butterfly, their response is, I saw a monarch butterfly. And I know from experience that there are no monarchs this far north this time of year. They are much further south than here, and they will not be here until around the end of May, first part of June. It's right in that area, right about the time school gets out is when the monarchs will show up. But the one that you're going to see that looks like a monarch, it's orange and black, is the Compton's tortoiseshell. And it has a little splatter of white on the leading edge of the forewing, up in the corner of the wing. So if you see an orange and black butterfly, look for a little bit of white on the upper wing. And if you see that, then you're probably looking at the Compton's tortoiseshell. Its cousin, the Milbert's tortoiseshell, is another of the common butterflies you're likely to see. The other one is the Eastern Comma. And I think the fifth one is also a comma, maybe the Green Comma. I'm not. My memory fails. But at any rate, there are about five. And then there's this little moth that you're going to think is a butterfly. It's got about a 1 inch, maybe an inch and a quarter wingspan. So it's much smaller than all of these other butterflies. And it is a moth, not a butterfly. It's the infant moth. And it's got a little bit of orange and black on its wings. And that is one of the first moths you'll see out flying around. Although there are some moths flying around right now, I believe they belong to the group Geometer moths, tiny grayish-white moths that sort of flutter along kind of peacefully flapping and gliding. And the other moth that is common this time of year, and I'm not sure... I'm blanking on the name, but it's the one that shows up in your sap bucket. If you're out gathering sap, there's a moth that's going to show up in your sap bucket. It's about an inch or an inch and a quarter long, and it's kind of a brown, maybe a khaki color, kind of a tan, and it's a big, fuzzy, furry moth, and it will shiver until it warms up enough to fly around. But this time of year, likely to be seen. So keep an eye out for those flying insects. And speaking of flying, this is the time of year. Canada geese are coming back. Any open water, if you live on a lake and it's got a river coming in or a river going out, a stream, any kind of open water, you're probably going to have Canada geese in there. Mallards will be in there. There will be maybe, I haven't seen a wood duck yet, but I wouldn't be surprised, but what they're in the area. Along the rivers and in the deeper waters, you're going to see hooded mergansers, golden eyes, common mergansers. For sure that group, the hooded merganser is one that you should take the time to study. Go down along the river. If you live near the Mississippi River, go down along the river with a pair of binoculars and take a good close look at the waterfowl that you see down there. And one of them is going to be the hooded merganser. And it rivals the male wood duck in terms of its beauty. Big white patch on the head, black border, got these gorgeous colors on its body. It is a real stunner of a duck. And you're going to want to get a good look at the hooded merganser. It's kind of, this is sort of the time of year when they're easily seen. And the other thing about this time of year is that all of these ducks that are coming back are in their nuptial plumage. So they are as finely attired as they're going to be all year. And throughout the summer, they will molt and grow back new feathers, but they will be at their peak of color and pattern this time of year because this is the breeding season for them. So all of those waterfowl that I just mentioned are going to be along the waterways. Check them out. Away from the waterways, well, I need to just tell you a little story. Last Thursday, I was in Cohasset and I was visiting with Mr. Lindner's fifth graders. And we were talking about how they might hear and recognize the cardinal song because it is distinctive and it is clearly whistled. It is commonly heard if you're south of the Grand Rapids area. It is a very common bird. You hear it all the time. I was down in the cities and I couldn't walk out the door without hearing a cardinal somewhere in the neighborhood singing. So, a very distinctive and easily recognized song of the cardinal. We talked about it. Mr. Lindner went online and brought up a... There he is. So Mr. Lindner went online and brought up the song of the cardinal, and we walked outside. The group walked outside, and we had hardly gotten out the front door when I heard the cardinal song. And I piped the group down, got them all quiet so that they could hear it. And all of a sudden, there it was, just that beautiful, beautiful song of the cardinal. And we had a nice time listening to that. And we finally got a look at the cardinal. And while we were doing that, we came across a robin sitting in a front yard across the street from where we were standing. Now, back to the cardinal for a second. Cardinals don't migrate. So if there are cardinals in your area, chances are they've been here all winter. And that is just the nature of the cardinals. But the robins do migrate, although there are Some robins that spend the winter. There's always a robin or two on the Christmas bird count here in the Grand Rapids area. So there are some robins that just spend the winter up here. Migration is dangerous. It's hard to do. It's risky. You're traveling, if you're a bird, you're traveling through territory that you do not know. You don't know where food sources are. You don't know where the dangers are. So migration is dangerous. And if a bird can avoid migrating, and in the case of the robins, some of them do, they will stay the winter. It's just easier. But it's also, you know, it comes not without risk. If you can't find food, you're going to starve to death and die. So there is that. But this time of year, the robins are beginning to move back into the area. And we saw this robin last Thursday. And I thought to myself, okay, single robin, maybe this is one of those that spent the winter up here. But the only way to know for sure is, will I see another one in the next few days? Or does someone else see a robin, not here in Cohasset, but somewhere nearby? And that was the case. I had two more reports of robins before the weekend was over. And that sort of cemented it for me. And my friend Dallas Hudson over in Akeley had a robin. So the robins were back on the 12th of March, and that is 12 days earlier than average. Average is the 24th, and here they were here on the 12th. That is not the earliest ever. The earliest ever was in 2012 when they were here on the 7th of March, another 5 days earlier than that. But 12 days ahead is early, and it may be the harbinger of an early spring, although the robins will, and they have done this on occasion, they will move into the area, and then if bad weather comes in, especially coming in out of the north, they'll fly back south for a bit. They'll fly a little further south and wait out the storms. So not sure if, you know, we're going to have that this year or not, but definitely the robins are in the area. The other bird that typically comes back, usually I have robins on the 24th and red-winged blackbirds on the 25th, I think is the average. And this year I had the robins on the 12th, and on the 17th, yesterday, I had red-winged blackbirds. And I was walking around in the yard, and here's this little blackbird sitting in the tree, and I pulled the binoculars up on it, and I looked at it, and I thought, is it a grackle? But no, it didn't have the gold eye that is characteristic of the grackle, and it was just a little bit on the small side. And then it turned, and I could see on one wing, I could see a tiny hint of that red wing patch. Actually, I couldn't see the red, but I could see that sort of cream-colored border that lays just above the red. So I wasn't sure. I still wasn't ready to give up on the idea that it might be a grackle or it might be a starling. It wasn't. The beak was wrong for a starling and the color. But I, later on yesterday afternoon, as I sat in my easy chair looking at the bird feeder, the red-winged blackbird showed up. So yesterday was the return of the red-winged blackbird. That was 11 days early. And the average there is the 26th. Last year, they showed up on the 26th, and this year on the 17th. And probably 21 was also an early year for the return of the red-winged blackbird. So both the robins and red-winged blackbirds have made an appearance here, and you should be checking them out. Other birds that showed up, the juncos showed up at my house. Now, we've had reports from Pam Perry down in Brainerd, and Dallas Hudson had a junco or two at his place all winter. But typically, the juncos come in the fall and disappear going further south and then come back through in the spring. And now is the time that they are coming back through. And the junco is a chickadee-sized bird. It looks like a dark gray bird that has landed in a pan of white paint. The breast and undersides are pure white and the back is dark gray, sometimes tending toward a little bit of brown, and they can be almost pinkish looking in some cases. But typically the common ones you're going to see are gray above and white below, and they are returning to the area right now. So lots of birds coming in, and you should be aware of all of them. Turning our attention then to some of the plants. I was down in the cities, and the silver maples in the cities were starting to bloom. The male flowers on the silver maples were quite prominent on many of them. And the red maples, no sign of change on the red maples, both down there and, of course, up here. Both my silver maple and my red maples are pretty well tightly closed, not yet ready to bud by any means. That typically happens in early April, sometime around the 10th of the month. So maples are, however, giving up sap. My neighbor Marvin Beer had sap in his collection bags, and my producer Heidi Holton has got her taps out, and she said that they were dripping pretty good yesterday. So definitely, if you're a syruper, if you're a sap gatherer, this is the time to get out and try to collect some sap so that you can make some syrup. Highs forecast to be mid-40s, lows mid-20s. That is the perfect weather for sap flow. So get out and check those out. The trembling aspen, the popple tree, and not all of them, because there are big tooth aspen, balsam poplar, white aspen, and the trembling aspen, and I've probably forgotten one or two others, but the trembling aspen has furry buds on it now. The aspens, remember, the aspens are in the same family as the willows. And if you're driving along this morning, keep an eye out in the lowlands for willows that are covered in little pussy willows, little white flowers, very fuzzy buds that come out early in the spring. It'll be mid-April before those buds actually begin to extend and become mature flowers. These are the beginnings, and typically it is the males that come out first. I have a big pussy willow right by the end of my driveway. There are two of them side by side. One is the male and one is the female. And up until this week, it was the male that was had its flowers out. But starting this week, the female also put out her flowers. So we have a bunch of flowers on the pussy willows out there, both male and female, and it will be, like I say, it'll be sometime in April before they actually distend and show their parts, their flower parts. So you'll have to kind of keep an eye out for them to begin developing. But right now, you should be able to find pussy willows, and you should be able to see on the aspens in your neighborhood whether or not they're fuzzy. The flower buds on those things are small and gray and can be seen if you are paying attention, looking carefully. And of course, if you have binoculars, you're definitely going to be able to make out the buds, the small flower buds on the trembling aspens. Finally, a couple of things. One, the Juneberry is the wild Juneberry. I have a domestic varietal in my yard, and it is just beginning to show a little bit of action. But the wild ones, there are these little white hairs that kind of slip out between the bud scales and lay over the bud as it begins to warm and start to flower. And that is happening right now. The little white hairs are starting to stick out along the edges of the Juneberries. And finally, and probably the most followed shrub by me at this time of year, is the speckled alder. And the speckled alder catkins are I had some yesterday that I measured at 2.5 inches, and they'll go to 4 inches before they, well, 3 anyway, before they start yielding pollen. But if you walk up to a speckled alder, and these are shrubs, and they almost always grow somewhere near water, and they have these little dark brown cones on them. And, of course, you're going to look at them and go, no, oh, it's covered in little pine cones. Well, of course, they're not pine cones because the alder is not a pine. But these small 3/8 inch long dark brown woody cones are present from last year. And if you see them, check out the male flowers, which are these catkins that are kind of purplish red right now and will begin to extend even more. They're, like I say, 2.5 inches long. They can get upwards of 3 to 5 inches before they're, you know, fully distended and ripe with pollen. So keep an eye on those. And if you find those, and if you're looking at those catkins on the speckled alders, look just above them and a little bit behind them, and you'll see these little tiny, maybe 1/8 inch wide by 1/4 inch long female flowers, which will become increasingly red as they become closer and closer to maturity. But it is a bit early. April 3rd is the average date for the speckled alder to yield pollen. 2013 and 2018, they were 2 weeks late. 2012, they actually were yielding pollen today on the 18th in 2012. The speckled alder catkins yielded pollen. And other years that were early include 21, 2010, and 2005. All of those years had early flowering of the speckled alder catkins. The 13 and 18 were late years. 21, 10, and 5 were early years. So that's how the alders check out. And I would expect them, if the weather holds, if we stay in the 40s and down into the 20s at night, I would think that by the time we talk again next week, that there will be some speckled alders that will yield pollen if you give them a snap with your finger. And that will be happening sometime between now and a week from now. So keep an eye out for that. And of course, if it does happen, you'll hear about it here on the Phenology Show, and it will be another sign of a fairly early spring. So lots of reasons to be excited about spring. It's coming, and it is going to be a little bit early, at least at this point. Now, I should caution, last year, you know, we had a winter of almost no winter, and I would have told you, last week that this was going to be the earliest spring ever last year. But the second half of March and the first half of April turned into a real bearcat, and all of the signs that normally I would have expected to be earlier than ever turned out to be 3 to 5 days later than average. So anything can happen, but for now, it looks like we're headed toward an early spring. That's our Phenology Show for this week. Thanks for tuning in. We'll be back again next week.
That's Phenology. You hear it here on KAXE. You only hear it here on KAXE. We have local content, local connection to where we live. That is one of the main things that we know that you tune in for. We also bring you local news and national news and conversations like about weather here. That's coming up with Bob Kanzemias, Tornado Bob. That'll be coming up.